everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
So on tonight's episode, we are talking about our July book club pick, Wild Open Hearts by Catherine Nolan. And this series is one of those that I actually kind of love, and they're great for helping people kind of taste test an author.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're like familiar with one of the authors in the group, and then, yeah, you can see similar writing styles.
Well, and I don't necessarily know if I love it when they do this kind of thing, just because sometimes you're writing in a genre that you don't necessarily write or write well. Like, I would not classify Claire Kingsley as a rom-com author.
No, I would not either.
But Lucy Score, Pippa Grant, they're rom-com authors. And Catherine, I know people are like, oh, she writes rom-com. I think she just writes contemporary romance.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I've probably read about half of hers. She, yeah, definitely has a more emotional element to hers than rom-com.
Yeah, she's definitely emotion and content over vibes.
Yeah.
So this series was part of the Blue Water Billionaires, which is an interesting take on billionaires. They did billionaire women.
Yeah.
Typically, we see the male be the billionaire. And so, Jenny, have you read all the books in the series?
I read Claire's, which was the first book. And then I've read this one. So this is book three?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read one and three.
And Amanda, you read two and three.
Yeah. Whichever Lucy Scores is, I read that one first. And then I read this one. Yeah.
So I've only read this one. And the concept is fun. The concept is fresh. But I don't know, like, this character, our heroine, she kind of pulls herself up from the bootstraps, but she's definitely had a middle class upbringing.
Right. She's had support. Like, it's not like she's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a rags to riches.
Yeah.
Are the other four books with heroines that are a little more...
No, the first one, her family is wealthy, but she goes outside of like she kind of goes outside of it, but her dad is still on her board. Her mom is still like part of her life. Like her brother's kind of like a philandering, like playboy. So yeah, the first one, she's not, it's not Rex Church's
either.
Yeah,
it's more of a, the storyline is more of a family dynamic and like going against your family's will to...
Okay.
Like your own place.
But none of them are like wrong side of the tracks, poor. They had a hand up.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So it really is in the same vein of billionaire romances that we see, just change out female to male.
Right.
Okay. Or male to female.
Much.
Okay. Stick around with us while we break down the details of Wild Open Hearts. Who wants to give us the details this time?
I'll let Jenny if she wants to. I did it last week.
Sure. October 25th, 2019. Folks are opposites attract. Billionaire. She's the billionaire. Class difference. There's more than one plus. Redemption. Grumpy sunshine. The series named Blue Water Billionaires, standalones. They are interconnected, like you see the characters throughout all four stories, but each author has different,
I think each book can be read as a standalone. There's no overarching, there's no overarching theme through all the books. They're all not trying to work towards a common goal. They're just existing in the same world.
Yeah, I think it might be beneficial to just kind of glance, if you're going to machete, just like glance over so you know like the couple pairings.
So you're not who's like, who.
Yeah, so you're not like, who's this dude, like Derek over here, like who's he belong to? It's dual first person point of view. There is a third act breakup, and the pop is 67%. I did not do, wait, I did do audio for some of it. I like went back and forth.
I did do the audio. It's Natalie Duke and Stephen Dexter. I think they did a great job. Their voices did a really good job. I think there are pacing problems in this book. And so, therefore, my audio listen was definitely like 1.65.
Yeah, I was gonna say mine was at 1.5 for most of it, and then that's why I started eyeball reading, because I'm like, it's not moving fast enough for me, so I could read faster. And it is a KU book.
Yeah, and it's a KU and a Whisper Sync for the $8. So this our heroine is Luna DeRosa. She is what they call American's vegan best friend.
I saw this and I was like, that's her like one note.
Okay, now I need to caveat this. I love Book Club, and Catherine Nolan was a delight.
She's just a wonderful human being.
And I do think that this is one of her earlier books.
Yeah, that seems right.
Because I read Free Fall and I really liked it. And I read, the Ra Talk Radio one, that's the podcast one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for the it,
Ri
that's kind of
Rival
weird.
Radio.
Rival Radio. Yeah.
Yes. And I've read the Codex series, which I love that.
I just don't think, like, this heroine was quirky and funny, sort of. But she
Yeah.
also was a little
Annoying.
annoying, like too happy, too perky. I wanted more self-deprecation a little bit. Like,
Yeah, and I think if we like, because we got to hear like Catherine's take on it, like this was difficult for her.
yeah.
Like,
Oh, was it? I missed Book Club, so okay. That makes
yeah,
sense.
it was
Yet
like
some of the
these
other authors.
collaborations are fun for us as readers, but it can be difficult, I think, to
Yeah. Well, she
make.
said she was told she had to make it less serious. She needed to be more lighter and funnier.
Oh.
That she wasn't funny enough. It was too sad. And
That
I.
makes a lot of sense with the way it plays out.
Yeah. I can see that. Like, I can see it. And I'm not a true fan of Grumpy Sunshine. I don't
Yeah,
know. I think,
especially when it's like super sunshiny.
If you get too sunshiny, that's where I lose it. Like, I don't mind the
Yeah.
grumpy part, like, or
I
even
agree.
somebody who's they're complete opposites, I think is more along the lines of what I like, but I don't like somebody who's too sunshiny.
She's really sunshiny, and
Like she's
his gruff grumpiness almost comes off like assholeness. And I don't think that was fair in the context of the story. I think if they had been able to dial her back a little bit, he
Yeah, maybe.
wouldn't have seemed like such an asshole. Because I don't think he was an asshole.
No, I don't. I didn't. I don't know. I can see where he reads that way a little bit, but he didn't. I didn't think he was an asshole.
There just
I
were
agree.
times where I'm like, holy crap, could he just say something? And
Right. He was very monotone. Like, yeah.
a little one note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So our hero is Beck Mason. And I actually really, and I didn't dislike Luna. She just was a little too happy for me. And that's just
Same.
not my favorite.
Well, especially when your whole world is imploding.
Right. Like, there's that first moment on the beach when she is with the stray dog. And that emotion, like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. Like, we're gonna get that emotion. And then I'm like, we get it a little bit in the next scene with the dog kennel, and we get it. But then, like, there are moments when she's alone that I thought, how hard is it to be alone with yourself? And we didn't get those internal thoughts.
Right. The one that sticks out to me is she like the board meeting, and they like the company says they're go like the store that she's usually like front and center. They say they're going the other way. And she goes out and she sticks her toes in the sand and like meditates. And I'm like,
yeah,
should I be meditating more? Like,
well, meditating is magical. Like, your world is imploding. You lost one of your largest accounts and you're dipping your toes in the ocean and meditating. Like,
I mean, you know, I guess if you've got billions of dollars in your pocket, you're good. I don't know. I thought the same thing.
I think, but we got this other glimpse of real true emotion when she goes and gets the hamburger.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, that was really a pivotal moment because, you know, I get that being a vegan, being vegetarian is a lifestyle choice. Like, it's very much a choice. But, and there's an amount of privilege that comes with being able to make that choice, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Versus as a food addict, I'm a chronic overeater. You know, and when you're trying to be good and then you sit down, you order the banana split with, you know, six extra things of ice cream, and you're just having that moment where I give up. Like,
yeah,
there was feelings of addiction there. And I did really enjoy that vulnerability that we got from her there. But I needed more of that.
Yeah. And you wonder if she had not been told to dial it back, if you would have probably gotten what you wanted.
Yeah. Because I think it was there. The groundwork was there, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to Beck Mason. So dude's got a wagon load of trauma and problems.
He does.
Why is he still in Miami?
Well, okay. So I had a similar moment.
Okay.
I was like, I will say kudos for him being riding an actual motorcycle, though. Because Jenny and I read a motorcycle club romance that they never rode the motorcycle.
Not really? Once.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did a whole quick shot.
She had
on
a
it.
Broken arm for a while, but yeah, not even.
Okay,
like,
I have to go back and I missed that one.
Yeah. I even read the epilogue and they still did not get on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Did you put it out already?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This was like a couple years ago.
Oh, a long time ago? Okay.
Yeah, I may it was have listened to it. Emma Slate, right?
Oh, yes. Okay.
No, and we all were like, everyone's like, oh, this is such a great motorcycle club. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to try this. And it's not super, you know, like mean to women. So I'm like, okay, we're going to try this. And Jenny and I
you
look at each other.
Motorcycle.
And we're like, motorcycle. You never rode a motorcycle, like in this whole book. Like, okay. But Beck does ride a motorcycle.
He does.
Everywhere.
He does.
But yeah, why didn't he leave Miami? Even go to like the northern part of Florida.
Right? Like,
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess maybe just because, you know, when he got out and he was already working with the group of dogs when he got out of juvenile detention or whatever. Maybe it was just because he already established something there with, you know, within that area is, you know, that's what I told myself in my head anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he needs to be there for the book to work, right? But yeah, just like.
Well, and that was the other piece that I was kind of confused about, juvenile detention. It doesn't say how old exactly he was when he got out, does it?
No, I don't think so. They don't really talk about the ages a ton.
But,
like, you know, from before.
Right, because he like graduates from that program. His parents weren't there. That's where Willow the dog comes in.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like even a high school diploma.
No.
No.
But they've been running the dog rehabilitation that they're doing for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel like so is he like 24, 25? And did she start?
I think he's
her
older than that, I but, think.
So he reads old. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He does.
Stacy says, I think 17 because he said he'd be 18 the next time he goes to prison. And she says, in the book, he's 40.
Yeah, I thought he was like late 30s, early 40s. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so he
So
reads
what
old.
has he been doing?
But the math doesn't
I have
mash.
questions now.
And how old is she then?
She's mid 20s, I think.
Well, she like made her first billion by 25 or 26. So
Oh,
maybe,
maybe mid
yeah.
30s then. Mid 30s, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I know they're little details. Okay. Oh, I need to say this. I did enjoy this read. It was fun. It was fluffy. It
Yeah.
works. It works. Again, I would have liked a little less sunshine, a little more emotion. I think that comes back to my vibes over content type argument we keep
That's
having.
yeah, that's fair.
But I liked this book and I love Catherine Nolan. If she writes it, I'm gonna read it, right? Like,
Yeah.
but there were just little things. I know we sound nitpicky. There
We
were
do.
just little things that I was kind of like, huh. And I'm also trying to remember it was early on in her career.
Yeah.
And she was kind of being led by some very strong personalities.
Right, and she's writing outside her box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not, as we all have learned, I'm not a huge fan of Lucy Score books, and I'm not a huge fan of Pippa Grant books. So their influence, I think that I see their influence in this book. There were
Yeah.
fun, quirky moments that I really enjoyed, like the parrot that just randomly shows
Oh,
up.
yeah.
Yeah.
I love the dogs. I'm all for a dog.
Yeah.
And I also
I
see
mean,
sh
the whole Lucky Dog Center was like probably my favorite part. Just that whole situation and the adoptions and his coworkers, and like that was where the emotion came in for me.
I would love some of those coworker stories, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like Wes and Jem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those
And
coworkers were
Alien,
great.
he's got a backstory, that
Yeah.
one.
And the strong silent type, like nobody's business, right?
Yeah.
So when you're reading a book, so random, we're gonna do our own thing tonight.
It.
Imagine that.
Imagine Becky's gone off script. When you're reading a book like this, do you and you have these side characters that you're like, yep, he needs a book. He needs a book. Do you make a story up in your head for them or kind of give them their own backstory? Like Ilian, like, I'm like, he's got a backstory. Strong, silent type. He's pining for a woman. Like, I think there's someone in his past that missed connection, something. Like, do you do that?
I don't know if I go make up the like exactly what his story is, but I will definitely like wonder about it, you know, and want it, but I don't necessarily make it up because I'm waiting on somebody to write it for me to read it. But
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I make assumptions like you said, like he's silent. So like why is he silent? And then kind of make assumptions about it. But a lot of times, like when I'm curious, then I go look and see if that person has a book, which we know in this situation
they
there
don't,
aren't like
yeah.
spin-offs. So but like the Tara DeWitt book that we read, she like
Oh.
put the brothers in and just gave us enough
And
that we're like,
FYI, the one brother, his book next March, final edits. We should be able to see the arc coming down on NetGalley sometime end of December, early January. So
Yep, I'll be stalking
fear
it.
not. You know, and so when I see multi-author series like this is my other thought. I wish that they would connect it into one of their other worlds.
Yeah, and I've seen where that happens. And I was trying to remember what series it was, but I've seen that happen and I do enjoy that.
Like where you kind of get a glimpse of these characters, of this world, even if it had been something as simple as a reference to the Surfer or a reference to Rival Radio, you know, but obviously those are books she wrote later.
Actually, I think, yeah, Claire kind of does that with her book because the first book is Cameron and Jude and Everly from like Everly's Dating Disasters and like Mrs. Wright or I don't know. The first book in the
Oh.
like Running Martini Club
Okay.
series. the main female character in that actually interviews with Cameron from the
Okay.
first
Oh,
book.
okay.
Now, the Martini Running Club is also multi-author, right?
No, those are all
Those are
Claire's.
all Claire's. Okay. I couldn't remember, because, and to be honest, this is a series that has been recommended to us, I think, since 2020.
Yeah, a lot of people recommend this one to us.
They're, always like, oh, you guys should do the Blue Water Billionaires. It's female billionaires. And I think that in 2019, that was slightly revolutionary.
Yeah, it's a novelty, right? Like, but I
Yeah.
think we're
Yeah.
seeing it more now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I almost wish this book had more time in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, in
Claire,
there in the Blue Water
yeah.
community, you mean?
Claire's book did.
Did.
The
Yeah.
yeah, and I've yeah, actually Lucy's does too. There's a fair amount because it's actually, I think Lucy's is the first one because her guy Derek is
I should
Jude's
probably
like,
know
yeah, I think Lucy's is the first
that.
one
I know, I think this
because
is book
yeah,
three.
her guy Derek, his one of his security guys is the guy who gets with Cameron.
Okay. That makes.
Yeah.
We do know that Pippa Grant is the last one in the series.
Yes. I think it goes Lucy, Claire, Catherine, Pippa.
Yeah, and I know that this is a super popular series and people really like it. I'm curious if people reread it for book club, like they had read it before, and then this is a second reading. Does it still hold up to those vibes that you had the first time you read it? Because that's been something that I've experienced recently. Where, well, we had it
Yeah.
when we did Bet Me, right? Like, I
Right.
love that book. That book was some of the first fat rep that I had read. And I just thought that was great. And some of it holds up really well. Some of it else, it's like, want, want, not so great.
Right. And some of that's like about where you are as a person, and some of that's about where the world's at too, right?
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
yeah. You can tell that a lot of these authors are small town authors too. Because the world is so small. Like in Miami,
Yeah.
what are.
Miami is not small.
Miami's not small. I think it
No.
covers three counties in southern Florida. Sort
And
of.
well, it's Miami-Dade. It's its own county. But it covers a very large portion of South Florida. But I mean, you do get these communities that are all part of the county that are kind of like outside of the city limits. So you get that little community feel, which I mean, that makes sense for Blue Water because you get these like enclaves that are gated and like you get that. So that makes sense. You could do that. It's kind of a small town situation in one of those gated communities, but not in actually downtown
Miami.
Miami. Okay.
Also, his dog rescue was fairly close to the beach. Isn't that
Yeah,
prime
that's
real estate?
right?
Yeah, I mean
Maybe
you're pretty
that's why
much
you got money problems.
I mean your hotels and high rises and anything close to the beach is it's pretty much a
Well, her business complex was like right on the beach.
that makes sense though, especially if she's in one of the like larger condos that leases out for businesses, that's
Okay.
not that wouldn't be completely unheard of, especially if she's in the like the Art Deco area, but
Yeah, all I kept thinking is, well, you could just sell your building. You'd
yeah.
have billions again.
Yeah, I mean, but there's always those little spots on the beach, the little kind of rundown strip plazas. I mean, you get those kind of all over
Right.
Florida, so you just suspend reality a little bit.
I will say, so, and I know again, the world. I like billionaire romances, and I think I started reading them, and that was one of the first kind of romances I read coming into contemporary. Because I'll be
Yeah.
honest, day-to-day life sucks. Paying bills, buying groceries sucks. Do
Yep.
I want a rich man? Like, I love that TikTok audio that's, I want a man in finance, trust fund. Like, I get it. I get it. Don't we all? I mean, I don't want to marry him. I just would like him to give me his money.
Yep.
But like, I think billionaire romance, it's like, it's the same reason we read a Duke. There's not 5 million Dukes in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
There's not all that many billionaires. What is the world's wealth is only like one is owned by 1% of the population.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
not even a full percent.
Yeah. I don't think it's even a full percent anymore.
Except in Romance Landia.
Yeah. No, they're just walking down the street or spilling right. coffee on you.
There's like 20% billionaires.
Because you know they're getting their own coffee too.
Yeah, right?
Right. Right. And also, I mean, I don't know. If Jeff Bezos walked up to a truck, a food truck, and got a hamburger, would they recognize him or would they not?
My kids probably would.
I don't know. I think it's a fair bet he would get recognized.
So she goes to that hamburger stand and orders a hamburger and nobody snaps a picture?
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's supposed to be the world's, like, what is it? The world's best vegan, or not best, but, you know,
vegan best friend. Yeah. Your vegan best friend.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's like we said, it's like we go here for the entertainment value. I mean, for the most part, so.
100%.
I kind of pictured the, like, hamburger place as, like, this hole-in-the-wall place where, like, the people there probably do not wear vegan makeup.
Yeah, there's this, there's a place not, it's north of me on the beach in Florida, and I pictured that place when I was picturing the hamburger stand, and yeah, nobody there would know anybody that does vegan makeup.
Stacy says she liked the book. It just found easy to put down and to do something else and never come back. Just didn't quite grab me and keep me tethered.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, but I find that to be the issue in rom-coms, period. For
That's
me.
Fair.
I don't... For some, yeah. I mean, unless you're one of those like Olivia Dade books that says you're a rom-com, but you make me cry. Like, I don't know if that qualifies, but you know.
Well, and we've talked about it, and I shared it over on the Discord, all those hockey covers that are all the freaking same. Yeah. Like, I don't think illustrated covers equal rom-com anymore.
No.
And I don't think that's a wildly, like, mass populist reader understanding. And again, I think that's part of the reason we're having the problem with, you know, age-appropriate reading for young people picking up Icebreaker, because the average person, average parent sees that, sees illustrated cover and thinks, okay, young adult, yeah, rom-com, we're going to be fine. And you read, even if you read that blurb, they're in college. Okay. But you see the cutesy cover and it's slightly misleading, right?
Yeah.
And, I think that that's kind of what's happened with illustrated covers for all of us. Like, Olivia Dade's books, they're not rom-coms. Not one of her book is a rom-com.
Yeah, no, I don't think so, even though we called that one a rom-com, but I don't think it was.
We did. But it wasn't. There wasn't anything funny. I mean, there were some.
I mean, there were some funny parts, but oh, God, that book destroyed
me. Amanda's going to have a new Goodreads show. Made me cry.
Yeah. Made me cry.
Tried to make me cry. Yeah.
But like this book, I mean, you know, again, that vulnerability, those moments, you know, yeah, with her and the dog and with her and the hamburger. And it's like, they were poignant. They work. And actually, this was a gut-wrenching third act breakup. I mean,
oh, yeah,
dude was stupid. Like, he was dumb.
He was dumb.
But the third act had an emotional kick to the gut to it.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I didn't quite see it coming because Catherine Nolan, she doesn't typically give us third acts, does she? Rival Radio, I think, had a... Well, maybe she does. Because Free Fall had a third act, too. Yeah. Maybe she does write third act. Okay. So, also, she was so sweet with her time at book club. And did you see on her Instagram, she put the end, like, she got all her words in, but it was Monday night.
Right? It was Monday night.
It was not Monday morning.
I wonder if she said most of it and then finished.
Saturday night, she told us she had, what, 40,000 more words?
Yeah.
She needed to write by Monday because she had a manuscript turn due for her forever book. So, and Monday afternoon, late evening, she typed the end. She got
Got
it
it
done.
done.
But we are so lucky at book club when the authors join us. Like,
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason why I'm like, yeah, we can do without signings. I don't know that I need them anymore.
I
That's
agree.
fair.
Well, because
I'm
we
not
get
gonna
those
argue with that.
intimate moments with the author. You know, you can't have that at a signing with 50 other thousand people there.
No.
But we spent a good solid hour and 20 minutes with her just talking, and you know, Ollie made an appearance at book club.
Hey, we had dog trivia. It was okay.
He didn't read the book, though. I'm just saying. I told him he can't come unless he reads the book.
Well.
So, I had to text a picture of him to Lisa for my Ollie tax because I asked her a question. And she's like, "Where's my Ollie tax?" Because she was on vacation last week.
Oh, that's funny.
He likes, if I spend too long at my desk working now, he likes to come up and put his head on the desk just to be like, "Hey,
That's
I'm
too
still
cute.
here." I'm like, "You're naughty." Anyway, okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down on Wild Open Hearts. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm gonna say thumbs up because I think if you're new to Catherine, which I was for this book, I think it's an easy intro. It's an easy read. And I really like the floofs in this book. I really like the dog shelter, like the scene with Jimmy where he gets his two little Pomeranians, like Betty and
Oh.
Veronica. Like I would read the book just for that, you know, and I would love a little side story where he gets his sidecar and they're driving down the road in his motorcycle. Like I need it.
10 out of 10,
So
yes. But they're
I'll
like
say thumbs up
Google.
just for that. Yes.
Yes. Wasn't that so cute? Because like he's like, I'm gonna get Beatrix the big giant mastiff, and he
Yeah.
ends up with the little two
He ends up
floofy
with the two
dogs.
Pomeranians. I'll say just if you read nothing else, just read that part.
Just read
So.
that. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down for you.
I would say thumbs up.
Thumbs up for me. I think again, it's a really easy entry into Catherine Nolan and her writing style and her world. You don't really get her world, but you get her writing style and her emotion that she likes to give us in books because friend does like some emotion.
Yeah.
So I think it's a thumbs up. I really liked it. And chatting with her at book club just made me love it even more. Like, she really cares about humans and people.
Yes.
And, you know, writing for her is art, but it's also a matter of being a storyteller, like a true storyteller of life and experience and how it moves through the world.
Right. And you could see that, like, kind of like interwoven through this. Like, it's not supposed to be as serious, but like, she definitely brings those elements of like struggle and like viewing people
Yeah.
from their perspective instead of in their situation, if that makes sense.
For sure. Okay, if you liked this book, what book do you think people should read? Does anybody have any?
I don't because I was looking and I really don't read that many rom-coms. Like,
Well, I didn't
honestly,
go
I
with
really just don't.
rom-coms. Forever or For Never by
Oh, Aurora.
Aurora
Yeah.
Rose Reynolds, I think is a really good comp. Because he is grumpy and she's a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, the only thing about that one is like I just with that one you don't get his POV and I was like I needed it,
Fair.
there.
I also felt like Vanessa Vail's her On a Manhunt
Oh
series.
yeah.
They're kind of light
Oh
and
yeah.
fluffy. There's a couple of opposites attract.
Right. And there's
Yeah,
that
that's
little bit
true.
of like ridiculous, like
Yep.
this isn't happening.
Well,
He
and
would
yeah.
he goes and gets his own copy.
Well,
That's
and he
true.
wears the pink shirt and adopts the dog that's ridiculous in that first book because he
Yeah, and
can.
you've got all the billionaire vibes in that one. It's just the guys, but yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking for Billionaire Royal by Rebel Shaw, that's Kaylee Ryan and Kaylee Black,
Lacey Black.
Lacey Black. They write together under that pen name. And again, it's kind of opposites attract. She's a little sunshine. He's a lot not sunshine. That book is also super spicy. So
I think I read, it's Rebel is the other one, right? I think I read that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I have. I didn't have a ton just because everything's male billionaires. Like, I have tons of dude billionaires. But I think what makes this book special is it's supposed to be the female billionaires.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, Catherine, as far as Catherine's book, like, I always recommend the Codex series. That's more of a suspense element. But, like, it's with old books. So, like, they, it's like a team that specializes in, like, theft and trafficking of rare texts.
Oh, so, you told me about this. I need to read it.
Yes, this is definitely your kind of book, Amanda.
I need to read that. I'll put that on my soon, hopefully.
I think the first one is Under the Rose, maybe?
Okay. I'm writing it down.
She's writing it down.
Or Behind the Veil. It's Behind the Veil.
Behind the Veil. Okay, so make sure you join us on Sunday. We are going to give you all our Olympic book recs. I actually put a blog post up today of Olympic book recs because I've gone a little out of control. So it's not so much books that take place at the Olympics. It's Olympic sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we were going for anyway.
So I found, like, a synchronized diving male-male romance.
Ooh, nice.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I male-male rugby. I found rowing books, like volleyball. I started going for, like, the non-popular sports. So the popular sports are over on the blog right now. When I give Rex on the episode, they're going to be a little less popular sports because I'm obsessed. Yeah. Synchronized diving? Hello.
I'm very, very upset that I'm not going to be on this episode.
It's okay. You can watch it on the replay. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
We can blow your TBR up from here.
Dinking kids.
So yeah, make sure you are back on Sunday night for Olympic Book Recs, and then we'll be back next Wednesday for our next sip and discuss Shielding Ember by Susan Stoker.
And that one is a non-traditional kind of non-popular sport. It's like she's a pentathlete and it actually takes place at the Olympics.
Cannot wait. So pentathlete, that's the running and shooting, right? Or
yeah. Yeah, she runs and shoots, and I think there's, I forget what else, but yeah, she actually, it's pretty interesting.
Okay, so has anybody been on the TikTok and watched the Olympic content?
That's like happening. I see some on threads, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the girl that plays rugby for USA. I have to get her name.
Oh.
She is hilarious. She's like, I'm trying to meet men, and they keep using audio from Love Island.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. They're so hilarious. But I've seen people, like, all the things I can do on my cardboard bed. Anyway, we will talk about them Sunday night. I cannot wait for the opening. You've seen the beds, right?
Yeah. Right. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Didn't the U.S. bring their own mattresses and their own air conditioners?
They have. Yes, because air conditioners are not a thing. But here's the place that I'm worried about the most. So the surfing competition is in Tahiti.
Yes.
And there's a cruise ship that some teams are staying on. And then apparently it's a whole thing in the surfing community, the professional surfing circuit, that you have a Tahitian family that adopts you and has a home that you stay at when you're in the area.
Yes. But we've been watching content on Tahiti like all week.
Okay. But that's a boat of very attractive people.
Yes.
So, authors, if you're listening, I really need a romance about the surfer and the accidental pregnancy that happens on the floating Olympic Village in Tahiti while they're at a surf competition.
That would be amazing.
Can I get that? Anybody? Any takers?
What, and then they don't like, is it like secret baby? They don't find out until like the next
The
Olympics.
next
4 years?
Olympics, 4 years later.
You know, you'd be able to find him, right? Like, you would
Well,
know.
yeah, but that doesn't mean you want to tell him.
No. That's true. That's true. Okay, so I have so many Olympic inspired ideas. So if an author needs a plotting partner and wants to go through some ideas, come find me. Anyway, that's what we got. Anyway, until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.